Oh man, Lord Jesus. Let's have some more prayer for the meeting. Lord, we pray that you would also change our view of the judgment, that we would see the love of the Father, because you love us, you chasten us. You also show us what you still need to judge in us today. Lord, we want to take this word and let you chasten us. Father, thank you for the love that we see in your judgment. Thank you for the words that you are speaking to us today. Oh Lord, prepare us for your coming. We pray that this morning you speak to us and appear to us. Oh Lord, we are poor in spirit and also cleanse our hearts. Oh, we want to see the righteousness in your word appear to each one of the saints. Oh Lord, show us everything that we need to see for our perfection. Lord, we praise you for your word. Thank you that your word makes us clean. Oh Lord, purifying our hearts from all love towards the world. Oh Lord, we want to focus ourselves on you and your purpose. Thank you, you sanctify us so that we can live in Zion. Oh Lord, give us the washing of the water in the word this morning, that we would be sanctified, that we would be without blemish, that we would be glorious for you. You should receive the glory this morning. You should also be the one who is satisfied. We give you this entire time. Praise the Lord. I hope we're all fresh again this morning. The Spirit will refresh us. We all need refreshment. Amen. What can make us fresh aside from the water of life? Except of this wonderful fountain of water of life. We can all drink. Sorry that I drove too quickly with the train yesterday. It was a little difficult for the translators. But I just went through the outline. And today, I will try to speak more slowly and not to go so quickly. Yesterday, we went to section 2. There are, of course, many chapters that are mentioned here. And it is very important for us to see, in order for the Lord to go on with us, He has to really clean out a lot of the rooms within our hearts, because we have too much garbage in our hearts, too much dirt. Our heart does not go along with Him. We are rebellious. We love many other things besides our living God. We love the world. We are for ourselves. There are many problems. We all have to recognize this. This is a fact. Or, do you not have any problems? You see? The smiling tells us everything. We are all the same. We're all in the same boat. We all come from Adam. There's nothing different. So for the Lord to lead us to the goal and into glory, don't think it's easy. That's why as it says in Hebrews, we need a captain of our salvation. We need a captain of our salvation. He who fights for us. We have to fight until we reach the goal. Sorry, that's how it is. In my entire Christian life, until today, of course there was much enjoyment, but there's also much fighting. What does Paul say? Does he say that you enter into the kingdom of God through much enjoyment? Did he say that? What did he say? Through much suffering and tribulation. Who likes tribulation? And why do you need tribulation? Where does it come from? From outside? Only? Of course, there's tribulation that comes from external sources. But we realize often this tribulation comes from inside out. What can hinder you to go on from the from outside? That which comes from the outside. Things that hinder us. What are the things that hinder us? The things outside or the things that are in us? And that's why it is very necessary to see that there is no other way. God has to clean out our hearts. He has to heal us inwardly. If we are not prepared, then we cannot go on. And then at the end we'll be like Ephraim and Judah. We will all be drunk with many different types of wine. And then we are also cloudy. And then we think we're important. And then so many concepts come into us. And we choose what we want. And we are disobedient. And all of this, everything that Isaiah mentioned, and everything that he reported, applies to us, applies to me, right? So when I see Isaiah, I see myself. This was a picture for me, of me. And I thought, oh, I see myself in Isaiah. My image is described here in Isaiah. We need healing. We need salvation to the uttermost. This is what Hebrews also tells us in chapter 7. He is able to save us to the uttermost. He is able. That's not a problem. But do you want to? Are you ready? This is the question of all questions. It's no question that the Lord can do it. He's capable of doing it. He's capable of saving us to the uttermost. There's no question that he can do it. But the question is, am I ready? Am I always ready to go with him to be saved? And sometimes we know we shouldn't do something, but we say, I'm going to do it anyway. What should the Lord do? And what the doctor prescribes, you go home and you forget everything. If the doctor says, don't eat too much fat, don't eat too much sugar, don't eat too much chocolate, don't eat this, don't eat that. And then you say, okay, and then you go home. And you go back to your old diet. This is our problem. That's our problem. And that's why the Lord has no other way but to continuously expose us and to deal with us. And if we don't cooperate with him, then we will lose everything at the end. And then we even blame others. Then we blame others. This person, these here, they're rebellious. Oh, Lord Jesus. Unfortunately, it's this way. And Isaiah is very healing. It's a very healing word. And that's why Isaiah described the situation here. A lot of young people asked me last night, what happened to Isaiah at the end? They were shocked to hear what happened to Isaiah. King Manasseh sawed him. He who speaks the truth will be sawn. Do you still want to speak the truth? Paul said in Hebrews 11, some will be sawn in two. When he also was referring to Isaiah. After we read Isaiah, we can understand why he was sawn. Would you like to be sawn in two? Praise the Lord for this prophet. He didn't seem to have many nice things to say. If we have to end up crowning ourselves and praising ourselves, if we have nothing else nice to say about the word of the Lord, then we'll have a crown like you get the crown at Burger King. You know, the kids really like to get these crowns that they get from Burger King, and they go home, they like to be king. This is what the Lord said to Ephraim. You crown yourselves with pride. You know, this picture is actually quite clear. We make ourselves so important. We think we have the authority. We think. But what a poor testimony this is.
Und so hier noch einmal.
In section 2, in part 1, it says, referring to the decadence and destruction of Israel and Jerusalem in the later times. It's really emphasizing also the later times. Because if you're not so successful, are not so successful, then it's not so easy to become proud. But if you're successful, and the Lord has blessed, and the Lord has done, then at the end you think you have done it. That also happened at that time. To King David. It also happened to King David. At the end, he thought he had made everything. He had done everything. And he forgot God. And immediately the judgment came. God does not allow his glory to be taken away by others. He doesn't allow this. He doesn't permit this. And this is what Isaiah also says. And that's what we have to keep in our hearts. Woe to us if God has blessed us and has done so much for us, and then we think, I did it. I'm responsible for all of this. I'm responsible for everybody. That's foolishness, stupidity. At the end, judgment will come. And so we need to be really healed from these problems. And the Lord has to expose all of this in us. He has to do it, otherwise we're blind. If we're blind, then we don't see what is in us.
Amen. Und von daher, am Ende, können Sie das Wort Gottes nicht mehr aufnehmen.
And that's why at the end they could no longer receive or accept the word of God. They didn't want to hear it anymore. They had ears, but they could not hear. They had eyes, but could not see, and then they don't see anymore and think everything is okay. They are the church. They thought they have reached everything already. They think there's nothing more. And then the speaking of the Lord becomes a foreign language to them. Tzatzatzap, kaf la kaf. Zeresham, zeresham.
Jesaja hat diesen Spotter gespottet.
Isaiah mocked the mockers.
Da hat der Herr zu ihnen gesprochen, die
the Lord spoke to them as if it were a foreign language. For them, they didn't understand anything anymore, and they also didn't want to accept anything. And this is the same situation today. They can't hear it anymore. You can't tell them anything else. You can't say anything to them. It's a shame. I'm sorry, but what can we do? And let's read from Isaiah again.
28.
Starting from verse 9. Whom will he teach knowledge? There's no one left. No one wanted to hear. They thought they knew everything already. God has nothing more to tell them because they have seen everything. They don't need new revelation. Haven't you heard this? We only need to warm up the old soup. And whom will he make to understand the message? They no longer have ears to hear. Those just weaned from milk, those just drawn from the breasts, they fell backwards. Instead of maturing and becoming mature, they became immature. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept. It's like Old Testament and Old Testament. We don't need this. A little here, a little there. Tzaf la tzaf, kaf la kaf. Zeresham, zeresham. It's too bad that I don't know Hebrew. Maybe we need to learn Hebrew. Can you maybe teach me Hebrew? For Isaiah, it was mocking them. They just really didn't understand anything. It was like Greek to them. For with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people. And I want to say this again, even though I mentioned it yesterday, but very quickly. This section of Isaiah is the best description of speaking in tongues that I have ever read. Paul used this section and applied it to speaking in tongues in 1 Corinthians 14. Zapf, zapf, kaf la kaf. Zeresham, zeresham. And that's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, speaking of tongues is not a sign for the believers, but for those who are disobedient, for the unbelievers, it's not a good sign. Lord Jesus, but we don't understand this. It's a problem. Oh, Lord. So the Lord already spoke to them in tongues at that time, in a foreign language, because they did not want to hear. You know, often when the Lord speaks to me so clearly and I say no and I deny it, then why would he speak to me if I still don't hear? Then he might as well speak to me in Greek. Well, in English, you say it's like Greek to me because you don't understand it. In German, it says it's like Spanish to me. But it's doesn't matter if you don't hear. It doesn't matter what the Lord says. If you're not ready to hear the word of God, then he will speak to you in the tongues of angels, because it won't matter in which tongue he speaks to you. Would you rather God speak to you in Chinese, Japanese? Of what use is it if God speaks to you in Chinese and to him in Greek? And you think, wow, this is so wonderful. No, that's not wonderful. Why do you think he spoke to the people? The Lord spoke to the people in parables. It seemed to me that he didn't want to speak to them so directly, because they were so hardened in their heart, they were rebellious. So he spoke to them in parables. And then still they understood that he was speaking against them, and then they became angry. The parable was a little too clear. Maybe he had to speak a little bit more unclearly so that they wouldn't get so angry and riled up. People like to speak so much in tongues nowadays. Oh, Lord Jesus, I don't want to. I don't want the Lord to speak to me in a foreign language. I have often told the Lord in a funny way, but I mean it in a serious way. Don't speak to me in Greek. Just speak to me in English or Chinese. Or German is still okay. But please do not speak to me in another language, because I don't understand it. Really, God is my witness. I have told them this often. If you're going to speak to me, then speak to me in such a way that I understand it. And please, I would prefer English or Chinese. Praise the Lord. I don't want God to speak to me in such a way that I don't understand it at all. Of what use is it to me then? But there's a reason why he spoke to them in tongues, because they are hardened in their hearts, they are rebellious. That was the reason. They didn't want to hear anymore. They had ears, but they did not want to hear. They are really drunk and foggy, intoxicated, and they had no more appetite for the word of God. They didn't want to hear anymore. Everything is of the Old Testament. When we speak, they say it's of the Old Testament. But when they cite the Old Testament, then it's okay, because it's according to their preferred needs. But if God speaks to them, that doesn't apply to us. We don't need that either. That we don't need, That's just law, law, law. You see, this people has gone back to the law. These, this and that, this doesn't help us at all. Isn't this what Isaiah is also mentioning? Then we have to say what the Lord said to the Jews when he came to this earth. Isaiah said very well. Everything that he said applies to you. And today it's no different. Tzaf la tzaf. Kaf la kaf. Sometimes I really have to enjoy the wisdom of God that is really manifested or displayed through Isaiah. Your word is wonderful. And so we see, let's come back to the outline. All these problems in Isaiah 29, the problem of Ariel. Oh Lord, because their hearts were no longer with God. You know, when our hearts are no longer by Him and with Him, that doesn't mean we have a religious suit on. Our lips are still speaking the right speech or language. Do not be deceived through the right speaking of the lips. Do not judge according to what you hear. You should see that the Lord sees the heart. And here, the Lord, as Isaiah cited, that these people praise me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. That means outwardly we're still pious, and outwardly we still have service, and we sing and pray, and we praise and thank. We sing and praise and thank the Lord. We've learned this since we've been in children's meeting. But their heart is no longer there. Do you think the Lord just listens to the music and does not look at the heart? You can give a good message, even a correct message, but that does not mean you're really speaking the truth, because the truth is the nature and being of God. Because it can be empty. Substance has already disappeared, but the form is still there. And this is what Paul said in Timothy. They have an outward form of godliness, but they have denied its power. There's nothing left. And we have to preserve ourselves, protect ourselves from this. They say that the worship is just a form or a practice. No, it's the reality. As soon as something becomes a form, and as soon as the substance has disappeared and the heart is no longer there, then you can do something that's even right, but it's worthless for God. Praise the Lord. And we have to all notice this, realize this, and learn what we bring to God has to be something fresh, living, real, full of substance, of the reality of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then it's life. Just the right tone. tone, the right teaching, doctrinal statements or statements that are true to the scripture, then people will say, well, it's right. But the content is not right anymore. Just like Babylon, outwardly, it's a golden cup. If you look at it from the outside, it looks nice. But inwardly, it's no longer the same. The content is no longer the same. And do you think it's worth anything for God? If Jerusalem is still the right place, and at that time it was the right place, what was in the temple and what they were doing in the temple, God no longer wanted that. The outward building and the hall was nice. The temple was nice. It was built with stones. But inside, the living God was no longer there, but there were idols in there. That's why in Ezekiel, it says so clearly that the glory of the Lord left the house. Oh, this should remind us of Eli, the old priest. The high priest and the whole priesthood at that time. At the end, we have the name Ichabod. He became his grandson was called Ichabod. What does Ichabod mean? The glory of the Lord has left, just like in Ezekiel. That's why some people don't like to hear the word concerning Ezekiel. It bothers their ears. Oh, that word concerning Ezekiel doesn't help anybody. Okay, but it helped me. Did it help you? Amen. Do you think if the glory can enter in, do you not think that the glory can also leave? That's what the scripture says. But they don't believe. Okay, if you don't believe, then I can't do anything for you, but I believe because I have seen too much and I have fear. I have fear. It means that if... Does it mean that if we have had the glory of the Lord and if we have seen much, that it will always remain that way? It's not because the Lord has changed, but because I have changed. Because we have changed. Because we have fallen again into the trap. This is the problem that we see, or that we need to learn from Isaiah and all the prophets. That's why the word still applies to us today. Do you think Isaiah does not apply to you today? Do you think it's no longer applicable or valid for us today? It's just the Old Testament. Do you think we can just put it aside? I hope that the Lord speaks to us so clearly. We're not talking about Bible interpretations here. We want to learn something from the Word of God. So all these points listed here, you can read them yourselves. And this spirit of deep sleep. So today we need to have a consciousness of what it means to be in the Spirit. What type of Spirit? What kind of Spirit? And it depends. What do you want? Do you think you can say spirit, 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 and in the end it'll just be a term that you use? So it is very, very important that we know the Spirit that rested upon the Lord as He was on this earth and served on this earth. This is the Spirit we all have to know and experience. There are many important aspects. And the Spirit of wisdom is not the wisdom of man, because the wisdom of man is not something that God needs, but He wants the wisdom that is from above, from the Father. And this wisdom is not just wisdom so that we can have wisdom to know what we should do, but James says this wisdom will set your living in order so that we can live and walk a holy life that is well-pleasing to God. This is wisdom. And so that we can understand what God wants to do with us. What God wants to do today, what He wants to reach today. And His counsel, we need it again and again in a fresh way. And we need the strength, the might, and we need understanding and knowledge. Or do you already know everything? Do you think God has nothing more to tell you? And we need the spirit of the fear of the Lord. If we have this spirit, then we will not judge according to our own eyes, according to what we see or what we hear, because that is only outward. We humans only see the outward things, but do we judge according to the Spirit? If we do, then everything is in righteousness. Everything will be in peace. This is what we need today. Oh Lord, otherwise, if we don't turn, then at the end we will say we are for the church, but in reality you are against the church and even destroy it. You talk about the building up, but you destroy. You talk about oneness, but you are divisive. You speak about love, 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 and there is hate. They cannot even say hi to you. And that's love? Better not. We should rather not speak about the love. Everything is upside down. Above is below, and below is above. Everything is upside down. Oh Lord, they are rebellious against the Holy Spirit, just as we saw yesterday. But I have to emphasize again, sorry again for yesterday, I went too quickly. So repetition is also a good thing. And I have this burden especially for the Roman numeral 2 in section 2. Although it belongs to Isaiah 28, but I took it out and put it here because this covenant has a special meaning, not just for that time, but also for the coming covenant. So I hope that yesterday it became clearer for everyone. And we see soon this peace, this covenant mentioned in Daniel 9, and Isaiah also mentioned it'll soon happen. And Daniel 9 confirmed it. And now this covenant will be made. Today we call it the peace treaty. But the Bible calls it a covenant. A covenant is a contract or a treaty. And it is exactly the same word that Daniel 9 used. And he will make a covenant with might. Because without power and might, there can be no covenant. So, we see that this covenant is a covenant with death. It is not a good thing. It'll be based on lies and falsehood. Because today in this world, there are only lies and falsehood, okay? Everything is just a facade or pretense. It's just outward. But true peace, there will not be true peace. And Daniel says, in the middle of this week, this peace treaty, this covenant will be broken, made invalid. God already prophesied this. It has been already known by God that it will become invalid within 3.5 years. This covenant will be used as a sign that the desolation is coming. So this covenant will fulfill the 70th year week. So this 70th year week is the only one remaining. At the 69th year week, the Messiah was cut down. And when does the 70th year week begin? It has to do with Israel. This 70th year week relates to the earthly people of Israel. And at that time, Daniel did not know about the new covenant, about this right, new, wonderful covenant that we are enjoying today. So there's an old covenant, and there's also a new covenant, and there's also a covenant with death. This covenant with death, whatever we call it, peace treaty, it is a covenant that will bring forth this last year week. Oh, Lord Jesus, it'll be a covenant with death, which will bring forth the desolation. And if it comes, if it's coming so soon, and if we're living in these times today, what shall we do? We have to prepare ourselves. And this preparation is the highway of holiness. Praise the Lord. Which way are we taking today? What is this way called? It's called the way of sanctification, the way of holiness, the way of healing, that all this stuff in us will be cleaned up.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go on, otherwise we won't be finished. We have 15 minutes. Let's go to page 4. At the end of the section, we see the final restoration of Zion that will still come, that is still to come. That means, dear saints, God will never give up Zion. And we also should never give up on Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem today. The people say that, oh, these guys, they've left the church. No. Have you left the church? No. It was better that you got cast out than you having to cast out people. Or what do you prefer? We have to praise the Lord. Praise God. But I want to tell you, God never gives up on Zion, and we also do not. Do you think I'm no longer for Zion? It should be written on your forehead because you have a big forehead. There's enough place for three names. More room. The name of my God, his new name, and the name of the heavenly Jerusalem. Do you have enough place on your forehead? I have enough space on my, I don't know if I have enough space on my forehead. I'm jealous of you. I'm envious of you. Really? Do you think we can forget Zion? The psalmist says, woe unto us if we forget Zion. Then let your right hand forget its skill. Let my right hand wither away, and let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. How can we forget Jerusalem? Lord Jesus, I don't think you are no longer for Jerusalem, or? The Lord knows what is in our hearts. We love Zion. We love Jerusalem. As the Lord knows Jerusalem and sees Jerusalem, not with our fallen and corrupted mind that can think of anything. No, it is a heavenly city, a true tabernacle built by God and not by man, not built with man's hands. Hebrews tells us very clearly it is also not of this creation. It is a wonderful building and we should not forget it. Praise the Lord. I thank the Lord. We also don't have to justify ourselves. It doesn't matter. Let the Lord bring everything to light when he comes back. Only he knows. Don't let the things that people say bother you. Let them say it. But you have to know in your heart what you want. That is important, and to know what God wants, it's more important than anything else. What God says, that's what matters. What people say, that doesn't matter. They can say whatever they want to say. But you have to know what is in your heart. Zion, regardless of what man says, and whatever it looks like outwardly, don't think that God will give it up. God has to judge. But it doesn't mean that when he judges and has destroyed the temple that he will not rebuild it and not restore it. And that's why at the end of every section there's this reassurance and an encouragement. And again, the Lord wants to give us the assurance that he does not give up on Zion. He will continue to do it with us, and he will make it with us until the end. And this is the wisdom of God. He doesn't just accuse, he doesn't judge, he doesn't expose, and then we'll all be fallen to the ground after that. But he gives us a wonderful assurance, confidence, that he does not give up, that he wants a remnant, and he will restore Zion. Hallelujah. That is good. And that's why we should not be afraid of his judgment. Amen. This judgment is for the restoration. It's for the healing. It's for the fulfillment of his plan and his purpose. There is no other way. There's not just love, 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 and this and all that, and please, no pressure, and oh, freedom, just do whatever you want, and Zion will be built. That is the speaking of a false prophet. It's a false comfort. This is not the word from the Lord. And so praise the Lord. Let us read Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35. The final restoration of Zion. Ah, it's wonderful. It's such a comfort for us. Such an encouragement. It's really, it's again the end of a section here. And this should show us that just as in the first 12 chapters of Isaiah, it was glorious. Today it's not that glorious, but at the end it will be glorious. It's better if it's not so glorious today and then it'll be glorious later. It's better than saying, oh, it's so glorious today, but at the end there's desolation. What do you prefer? Amen. Praise the Lord. What a wisdom of God who really encourages us also to go through thick and thin with him. Is that not a great joy? Even the wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad. Praise the Lord. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. This is a wonderful description. I want to get to know Isaiah one day. I want to say to him, okay, explain to me again. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, but not today. Unfortunately, today is not the time yet. Everything will still come. The excellence of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. This is the real glory. It'll be visible. It's not the glory for ourselves. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Haven't you read this somewhere else? Hebrews. Now you know where Paul got this word for Hebrews. The Old Testament applies for the new. Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong. Do not fear. Behold, your God. Or does it say, behold, the elders? Oh, sorry. No, it says, behold, your God. Your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you and no one else. At the end, only the Lord can save us. That's why do not try to save. We are incapable of saving. Some people say, can't you do something? You could do something, right? No, I can't. I can't. Did I not say that to you? Do you think I'm just so Chinese and humble? No, I really can't. It's not my thing. It's not my situation. Not my business. Who can save us? Only the Lord. None of us is so capable or capable at all. Even if we think we can, we should have this fear and say, no, this is false confidence, false assurance when it comes to God's matters. Your hand should not touch it. We all have to learn this. Because we're so quick to help. Oh, I will help. Just like Uzziah. Just like Uzziah. What did he do? He touched the ark. And he died after he touched the ark of the covenant because it was falling off. Yeah, and then he died after he touched it. If we react so quickly out of ourselves, then our reaction is very quick. When something falls, our hands go there very quickly, out of tradition, out of habit. We react so quickly. This is how we all are. And at the end, the more you help, the more you have caught something, then the death will come into you. But people don't believe this. I have always tried to say, don't do anything. But no one wants to hear this. So they do a lot, and at the end, they're dead. He himself will come. Let him come. And will save you. Praise the Lord. I am not the Savior. You are not the Savior. None of us is the Savior. Or, Otto, are you the Savior? You're also not the Savior. He will save you. So wonderful. Now, then we can sleep well. And then the Lord will say, go into your room, close the door, and wait. This is the counsel of Isaiah. This is the counsel of Isaiah. We have to take this counsel. The more confusion there is, the more you have to go into your room, close the door, and go to sleep. Then you will remain healthy. And then you won't hear everything. All these viruses, all these lies, all the falsehood, and everything will come into you, and then at the end you'll be sick. So if there's an epidemic, the best thing for you to do is to stay at home. That's normal human wisdom. Don't go take a walk and look at everything and be so curious. At the end, you'll be sick. Lord Jesus. You know, God's word is so practical. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and then the lame will spring, The lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing, and then we will sing, not out of tradition. For water shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool. Only God can do this. In the thirsty land, springs of water. In the habitation of jackals, where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Only God can do this. Because He restores everything. And when He restores everything, it'll be wonderful and glorious. And this will be a wonderful encouragement after God has exposed so much and exposed the horrible condition. If we don't recognize our horrible condition and to think we are still glorious, then at the end it will become a desolation. But if we recognize our true condition and hear what He says, then God can fulfill what is written here. Otherwise, He cannot.
Okay.
Verse 8, a highway shall be there, and a road. What kind of road is this? And it shall be called the Highway of Holiness. Praise the Lord. What does holy mean? Everything is set apart. Everything is according to the nature of God. It's not worldly. It's the narrow way that leads to life. It's not a broad way. Not like in Los Angeles, where there's a street called Broadway. In New York and in all big cities, there's a street called Broadway. Only the tourists go there. But we go the narrow way. People today, they don't want to go and take this way. It's too narrow for them. You guys are too narrow. You have to be more liberal. Just let the young people do whatever they want, go to parties, to serve. Well, that's too narrow. Party, party, party. They need to party. Have you not learned from Luke 15? Yeah, that's how it is. They want to take the broad way. Which way do you want to take? The highway of holiness? What does the highway of holiness mean? That you can do anything and everything? If you can do everything, then it's not a highway of holiness anymore. So praise the Lord. Today we take this way. The highway of holiness. We have no other way. There are not many ways. How many roads lead to Rome? Only one road. And this road leads to the heavenly Zion. The other road leads to Babylon. Which road are you going to take? Hallelujah. The way to Zion. It shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. This is how narrow this way is. Do you treasure and appreciate this way? And what will you do if you want to go this way? You have to let yourself be cleansed by the Lord, to be sanctified by the Lord. We have to say, Lord, sanctify me thoroughly, spirit, soul, and body. May the God of peace sanctify you completely. Not just spirit, 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 but it has to also go to your soul and to your body. And our whole being has to be preserved, holy, and without blame. Until when? Until we fall again? Until the day of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Tell the Lord, Lord, sanctify me completely. If I could sanctify myself, I would need you. I have said to the Lord often, if I could save myself, I wouldn't need a Savior. Lord, heal me and sanctify me completely. If you think you're holy and glorious, then you don't need this judgment. If you think you've already reached the goal and don't need anything else, okay, fine. The unclean shall not pass over it. But it shall be for others. And then, period. This is not well translated in many translations. A better translation, but he will be with them. He will be with them, with these clean ones, the ones who are willing to go this way of holiness. But for them, for the clean ones. Of course, if no unclean shall pass over it, then who will go on this way? So, God will be for them who walk on this road and this highway. Don't be complicated. Even the simple ones will not go astray, although a fool, whoever walks the road, although a fool shall not go astray. Be simple and be clean. So even Paul said that as the serpent deceived Eve, that we would be led away from the simplicity that is in Christ. At the end will be so complicated. He who goes this way of holiness and who lets himself be cleansed from all this nonsense, all these lies, all these falsehoods and sicknesses and so on. If we go this way with a simple and pure heart, God says, they shall not go astray. And so, Peter also says in 2 Peter, if we are diligent to continue to develop this life within us, then we will by no means ever stumble. No lion shall be there. Is that not good? Today, there are nowadays so many lions, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there. This remnant shall walk there. And now we can sing this song. And instead of having a break now, let's sing this song, which is mentioned in verse 10. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return. Let's sing this with energy and umph. Let's sing it. Praise the Lord. Amen. This song is sung at the end of this section. At the end of this section, we also have a nice song.
Four hundred eleven.